That in turn, if you will, let's just for a little review, let's start with Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. We've been trying to keep the website up. My wife, since she's working part time now, she's doing better on that. So, our website, the sermons are caught up, and so I want to be clear about what we're doing. We're doing an Old Testament study on types of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And to rehearse what that means, Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, I said it when we first started out. he said in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. A type is a shadow of something else. And so the reason for neglecting types, it's hard work. When I pastored and worked a full-time job in insurance and other such things, it was hard for me to study enough to do types and things like that. I mean, it takes hours and hours. You know, I've been preaching a long time. And so I've got some experience. I got a lot of knowledge and memory of sermons and stuff. But when you preach a sermon like this, you can't do it off. You can't shoot off the hip. And so it takes a lot of study, and that's the reason you don't hear much of it. A lot of people call it unscriptural because they don't study. They just don't understand it. They don't understand types and shadows in the Old Testament. But the Bible says that's what it is. But they don't understand it. And some folks even go so far as to say, well, we're New Testament Christians. We don't use the Old Testament. Well, you can't understand the new without knowing the old. And the better you know the old, the better you'll understand the new. And so Jesus said, search the scriptures, because in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He didn't say just the New Testament. He said, search the scriptures, all of them. And some people say, well, it's uninteresting because it's difficult. And what they're really saying is it's hard work and I'm too lazy to study. Amen. It takes prayer and a lot of time and work. And there's reasons to study. We ought to study types, because he said it not only here but other places, that these types are a shadow of something else. You look at that tabernacle, every part of it is a shadow of Jesus Christ. You look at those offerings and the sacrifices, every one of them are a shadow of him to come. So you ought to do it. You ought to study. They're pictures of Christ. They're object lessons that God taught us himself, you know. When I did children's church for many, 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 many years, I used a lot of object lessons. I'd hold up something in my hand and I'd preach about something, and what in my hand would be similar to what I was preaching about. I'd say it's like this, you know. And there's four different kinds of types. Number one, there's a person. Ones whose life will illustrate a great principle are the Savior himself. That person will in the Old Testament. Or a truth of redemption. And then another type is an event. That event represents a great biblical principle. You know, like the Passover feast and things like that. Then there's a type in a thing, like the brazen serpent or the veil of the temple. There's a type there. And then there's rituals. Those rituals are types. They're religious practices like offerings and the priest and the tabernacle work and the candelabra, how you light it and how you lay out the showbread and all that stuff. But every bit of it represents something else. He didn't just make that tabernacle and tell us about it because it was a pretty tabernacle, or later on the temple, but because it was a shadow of the one that was to come, Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, I have about 20 minutes. I don't know if I'll finish. I'll try. Deuteronomy 18, look at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice that capital P. From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. Now, you know, he's talking to Moses. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Moses was a prophet as a type of the Lord, the great prophet. And if you'll remember, Jesus said, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. I speak his words. See? And that's exactly what that was saying there. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And verse 22, I think it is. Let me find Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Acts 3, it's verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now that's Jesus saying that.
Yes.
And he's testifying of himself. He said Moses said that God told him, and I'm him.
Amen.
I'm him. I'm the one you're looking for. I told you I used to work with a young Jewish man. And he was not only hereditary, but also religious. And he wore the Star of David around his neck. And about Easter one year, we were in the break room, and he said something about, asked me, was I ready for Easter? And I said, well, yeah, every Sunday is Easter to me. And he said, well, we don't celebrate Easter, we celebrate the Passover. And I said, well, I kind of figured that. I said, tell me more about that. What do y'all do? What do you do? As a Jew, how do you celebrate the Passover now? You can't put the blood on the door. He said, well, what we do now is, he said, we have the roast lamb, we have the bitter herbs, and we have the unleavened bread, and we have the wine. He said, and everybody has that on their plate. Everybody. And he said, there's a certain place for everybody, a certain place for the father and the mother and the children in order. And he said, but at the head of the table, we set a plate for the prophet. I got chill bumps just like I got them right now. I said, what prophet are you talking about? He said, the one that is to come.
Amen.
He was quoting Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
I said, I'm getting chill bumps. I said, he's already come. You missed him. He said, what do you mean? I said, that's Jesus Christ. I said, he said it himself. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. I and the Father are one. He's the great prophet. And the old boy said, well, I've never thought about it like that. I said, I hadn't either till you told me about how you celebrate the Passover. So Moses was a type of that great prophet, Jesus Christ. Peter preached that in Acts. Peter preached that. And then if you look at John 1, John chapter 1. Now, we're not, when we talk about Jesus, we're not talking about anything that the Jews don't already believe. We're not talking about anything they don't already believe. It's just they don't know how to make the connection. They've never been taught types. All right, John chapter 1, if you look at it. The scribes and Pharisees knew about this. In John chapter 1, look at verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? See, they were looking for that prophet. Amen. He says the Levites and the priest sent from Jerusalem to ask Jesus, who art thou, sent to John. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. So the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and all of them, they knew that there was a prophet to come because they knew the Old Testament and they knew that was a type or shadow of what was to come, see. And then we hear ignorant Baptists say, well, I don't read the Old Testament. It's too hard to understand. Well, read it and you'll understand it, see. The reason you don't know it is you don't read it. Read it. And then when you get over here reading the New Testament, you'll say, hey, man, I remember reading that over there in Deuteronomy. See? So it's important. Now, Jesus was a man. He was all man and all God at the same time. Inside of him was God. Outside was man. You remember we studied on the seed. But not the seed of Adam. It was the seed of who? The woman. And he was born of a woman, not of a man. Because God was his father. And so Jesus Christ, physically, if you looked at him, was a man. Now it puzzles me. I go to people's houses and I see pictures. And I'm not making fun of you. And I never would make fun of people's biblical misunderstanding or ignorance, but I see pictures of what they think Jesus is. Well, usually the picture is a long, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pretty, effeminate-looking man. Well, you got to remember, the Greeks and the Romans drew those pictures. And that's what they looked like. And they didn't know anything about the Bible. So that's what they thought Jesus looked like. They thought he looked like them. Well, he did. And then I go to black folks' home, and they'll have Jesus as a black man. And I never say it, but I think, how did you get that? Black skin, black, dark eyes and black hair, and he was not an African. He was a Jew. He looked like a Jew. His skin did, his body did, olive complexion, brown eyes, dark brown or black hair, usually a big nose. But he looked like a Jew. Now, we know that Jesus was in a man's body. He was an Israelite just like Moses. See, Moses was a type of Christ. Okay? Now, Revelation chapter 5:5. I got so much, ain't no way I'll do all this. But, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Now, the Root of David, that means a descendant of David. Physically, okay? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was a man, okay? So we know he was a man like Moses, far as the flesh goes. Moses was a shadow of the Savior, a type of the Savior. Philippians chapter 2. We're doing a Wednesday night, what we used to call it, Bible study. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 8. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of who? Men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, listen to me. Listen to this. Jesus Christ was that shadow, was the fulfillment of that shadow or type of Moses. Moses was a type of the Savior. It wasn't spiritually, it was physically. He was a member of the tribe of Israel. He was a descendant of David. And so therefore, he was a man, but he had to humble himself, lay aside his royalty as the King of Glory, lay aside his robes and his crown, and humbled himself and came down here. And the Bible says that body, that man, was obedient all the way to the cross. He never sinned, not one time. So that made him more than man. Now, he looked like Moses, a human being. But he was God in that he never sinned all the way to the cross. Amen? Now, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Man, I got some. We'll have to finish this next week. Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, he's talking about the baby Jesus, okay? When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Now, wait a minute. Stop there. Who else went into Egypt? The Israelites. Who lived in, who was raised by the Egyptians? Moses. Moses. Yeah. Joseph took them in. Moses took them out. Now, think about that. Now, he said, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. Well, they were there until the death of the good Pharaoh, and then the other one came up. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Moses was called out of Egypt. Jesus was called out of Egypt. You see that? Now, Moses was a mediator between man and God. God didn't communicate with anybody else in that camp but Moses. And so Moses would have to go to God and beg him not to kill the people. Yeah, he would. He was a mediator between man and God. Who else is a mediator between man and God? The man Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. The man Christ Jesus. Moses was a forerunner of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Forerunner means he came before Christ, preparing the way for Christ. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
All right. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also who was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. So therefore, Jesus has more honor. Moses built the children of Israel and took them out. But God, he's the one that does it all, you know. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing and the hope firm until the end. Now, Christ, as far as Jesus Christ, Moses was the forerunner in showing how, by shadow, by type, that there was going to be a people that he was going to lead out and lead into salvation. So he was a type of that. Now, Moses was a lawgiver. Jesus was the law fulfiller. Amen? Look at Romans 10:4. Now, y'all got to be fast tonight now. Romans 10:4. I gotta find it myself. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, there's nothing else you can do to be righteous after trusting Him. He's the end of the law, okay? Now, turn to Galatians 3:24. Y'all think you're in Bible college tonight, don't you? Verse 24, I've been thinking about starting that institute back up anyway. Amen. We just got to pick a good night. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto... Moses brought the law, and it brought us to who? Amen. Amen. That we might be justified by faith. Now, with Moses, the law began, but with Jesus, it was satisfied and ended. There's no works of law that you can do to be justified or to be saved. Not one. Not one. And Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which walk in the Spirit. Now, how you do that? You can't walk in the law and the Spirit at the same time. The law's dead. The Spirit gives life. How can you do both of those at the same time? And see, Moses represented every bit of that law. God said, write it down. He wrote it down. Write it down. He wrote it down. By the way, not just Ten Commandments. That's the moral law. There's over 600 laws in the Old Testament. And we can't keep the first 10. We can't even keep the first one. That's the truth. Amen. We usually love ourselves more than we love God. Amen. We break that one every day. Amen. So don't feel real good just because you didn't lie today. Don't feel real good just because you didn't steal today. You never made it past the first one. Forget all the rest of them. You didn't love the Lord thy God with all your heart today. That old sinful flesh wouldn't let you. You didn't do it with all your mind. That sinful mind wouldn't let you. And didn't do it with all your might because you was real busy pleasing your flesh. It's amen right there. You can't keep the law. Now, Moses brought the law as a schoolmaster to teach the children of Israel, look, this is what God looks like, and you don't look anything like this. And then all the other laws, now there's other laws, there's dietary laws. Some of those were just to keep them alive in the wilderness because they had no refrigeration and no preservation and stuff like that. But the moral law, we forget not eating shrimp. Because we ain't going to make it out of the moral law. Why would we worry about the dietary law? Amen? Amen. Lord, forgive me. I love shrimp. I like it fried. I like it boiled, baked, barbecued, any way you can fix it. Amen? Amen. Not raw. I can't eat it raw. I can't eat anything raw. I like frog. That's a cursed thing right there. I like frog legs. I love them. I put a little barbecue sauce on that thing. Woo, man. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, dirty sinner. Dirty, rotten sinner. That's all I am. Amen. I can't make it past Commandment 1, much less the dietary law. Amen. Amen. It's my schoolmaster. The law has taught me that. So Moses taught us that we are sinners through the law of God. And then here comes one that Moses was a shadow of, a type of, and he come and he said, boys and girls, I got good news. You can't keep the law, but I can keep you.
Amen.
Amen. I can set you free from that law of death and sin, and you just trust me. Moses was pointing you toward me, not the law.
That's right.
And I can't understand how people keep thinking that Moses was pointing. Moses wasn't pointing to the law. He was pointing to the need of a Savior. Amen. And then Jesus comes along, and now He is a prophet like Moses, but greater than Moses because He fulfilled the law. You see, son, He kept all those laws me and you keep breaking. He kept every one of them. without sin.
Amen.
Without, can you imagine that? I wish I could go one day without sin.
Amen. Yes.
One, if I could just go one day. Old Dr. Curtis Hudson said he was going down the road one day and he stopped and picked up his hitchhiker and said, they got the talk and said, you know, he got the talk about Jesus and witnessing and all. And said, the old hitchhiker, his eyes rolled back in his head and he started saying, Lord of God, I hadn't sinned in 40 years. He said, well, that's good news. I've been living above sin for 2 years. That's what Dr. Hudson said. He said, good news, boy, that's wonderful. He said, how you been doing that? He said, while I'm in Bible college, I got me a room above the pool hall. He'd been living above sin for 2 years. Amen. So, I don't know what the guy said then. He probably said, let me out. Amen. But thank God. Look, these types are not meant to be hard. They're not meant to be that mysterious. Every one of them point to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Now, Moses would be the greatest example to the Jew. Well, Joseph and then Moses would be the greatest example to the Jew. Now, the Islamist has no example. The Muslim has no types and no shadows. Their whole book is law. The whole book is law. There's no hope in these religions. The Hindus, they have types and shadows, but they have nothing to represent by those things except dead people. They say, well, that's my grandfather over there grazing in the grass, that bull over there. Or they'll say, well, that's my grandma. She's a rat because she was bad in her first life. So, what's they call that stuff? Yin yang made her into a rat, you know. And so they have no hope either. And then you got lost sinner. He or she stumbling through this whole world, and they think, look, I'm just like everybody else that's ever lived. There's no hope. But then you and I, as saved sinners, we can say, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're so wrong. This has been going on for 6,000 years. Let me take you back to the garden. I'll show you what God did for them and how that points to his forgiveness for me and you. And hey, if you don't like that one, let's go on over here to Moses. Let's look at Moses and see what how he represents Jesus the prophet. If that doesn't do you any good, let's go look at Joseph, the Savior of his people, the Savior of his people, and King David, the lion of the tribe of Judah himself. Let's look at him. Sinner, we got lots of hope. This has been going on since the garden. God's been pointing and said, yeah, you're in a mess and you're going to die and go to hell if you go after Adam, but let me show you one greater than Adam. Let me show you one better than Adam. And let me show these people that I've tried to point out to you all through the ages that this one was coming. He was coming.
Yes.
Now, I've read some men and Baptist men think that you were saved before the cross by keeping the law. Well, that's impossible. That's impossible. You can't do that. And they get mad at me because I say before Jesus Christ's death on the cross, everybody in the Old Testament was looking for a coming Savior.
Yes.
Every one of them. Every lamb that was slain was a type of Christ. Every turtle dove that was sacrificed was a type of Christ. Every grain offering was a type of Christ. Everything was a type of Christ all through the ages, pointing toward there's a great prophet coming, there's a Savior coming, there's the lily of the valley is going to show up one day. And that's what I'm looking for. And I'm trusting God.
Amen.
That God's going to take care of my salvation. That's faith. That ain't works. That's faith. That ain't works. And then we get over here on the other side of that timeline with Jesus has already come and gone. And we can look back and we can say, that's who Adam represented.
Yes.
That's who Noah represented.
Yes.
That's who Moses was a type of, a shadow of. That's who Joseph was. That's who all those laws was a type and a shadow of. And all those ceremonies was a type and a shadow of. And we can look back and say, thank God, there he is.
Yes.
There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And how are we saved? Are we saved by works? Joining church, getting, no sir. We're saved same way they were on the other side, by faith, looking at these types, saying God's trying to tell us something, and we can say, well, here he is.
Amen.
I like that.
Yes.
And so now we can go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and we can say about ourselves, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after flesh. Now, that doesn't mean your flesh is dead and it's not going to bother you anymore. It just means you're fighting it and you're not walking in it anymore. Amen? You're killing it every day. You're crucifying the flesh every day. And the flesh says, oh boy, that looks good. You say, shut up, flesh. And the flesh says, man, that would feel good. You say, shut up, flesh. I'll put you under. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen?
Amen.
And so these types help us to see how good God really is. It's not like, and some people are just ignorant. They think Jesus just woke up in heaven one day and said, I need to go down and save that bunch. And he came down here and lived a sinless life and died in our place and rose from the dead and said, okay, that's finished. I mean, that's like he didn't even know what was going to happen. When he preached and they said all these things about him, he knew they were going to say this. He knew. He told his disciples, they're going to beat me. They're going to falsely accuse me. They're going to hang me on the cross. They're going to kill me. And of course, like our loved ones do. Oh, no, 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 no. That ain't never going to happen. Not long as I'm here. He said, shut up, Satan. Get behind me. That was the flesh talking. Because it's all types and shadows until he gets here and fulfilled every one of them. I like that. Now next week we're going to look at another one. And then when we get through the people who are types of Christ in the Old Testament, we're going to go to events and things like the tabernacle, things like that. But I'm putting tabernacle till last because it'll take many weeks to do that one. All right. Well, I hope you know him today. If you don't, he's easy to get in touch with. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you say, well, preacher, I called on him, but you know, I failed him. Get in the boat. Yeah, we're all in the same boat. That's why he says, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. He says, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every day I'm confessing. Every day I'm getting cleaned up over. I'm not getting saved every day, but I'm getting forgiven and cleansed every day. I'm already saved. Amen? All right. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. What a blessing to know these things. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to be real educated. All we got to do is just read the book. You put it there for us. And thank you, Lord, for people that want to hear it. They want to hear it. They don't care about this modern mumbo jumbo, name it and claim it, mystical, magical junk. They want the real meat of the Word of God. I pray you'd bless them for coming tonight. And Lord, those that wanted to come and couldn't, I pray you'd bless them anyway. And I pray for that one that's going to listen to this on the internet.
Yes,
that you'd save or reclaim or bless. Those that see it on Facebook, Lord, that you'll save, reclaim, or bless. What a ministry. Who'd ever thought a little old church like this would get out there like that? So use us, Lord, and let us go out of here rejoicing. And whatever you do, we'll say Jesus did it all to him I owe. Amen? Amen. Come on, Holroyd, close.